It's amazing what a powerful message Jesus can give us in just 40 words. We'll talk about that on this episode of the Gary Zimak Show. Stay right where you are. We begin now. Hey, what's up? Come on in. Make yourself at home. Getting ready to start the program. This is the Friday edition of the Gary Zimak Show. This is your old buddy Gary Zimak with you again on Blog Talk Radio, trying to survive this head cold. I think it's getting a little bit better today. I've got a cough drop and a glass of water here, and let's just pray that I can get through this program without my voice giving out. I feel pretty good. It's just the voice isn't working for me today. On the show today, today's our Friday program, and every Friday on the program, in addition to looking at Matthew Kelly's book, Rediscover Jesus, which we'll do first, we will look ahead to Sunday's Mass readings. This Sunday is the second Sunday of Lent. Now, keep this in mind. There are only five Sundays in Lent. You know, sometimes it seems like it lasts a lot longer than it does. There's only five Sundays. We're already about to enter into the second week of Lent. So please, let's make the best of this. Let's continue to give it our best shot. We never know. We never know if we're going to have another Lent. So this is the thing. This is the message that I always try to drive home. Let's make sure to make this, to make our best effort to grow close to Jesus and to make this the best Lent that we've ever had. And the fact that we're doing the retreat, that you're listening to the program, that's a good sign. That shows me, and it should show you too, that you're taking it seriously. I got news for you. A lot of people don't take Lent seriously. The reason I know that is because I was one of those people for many years. And, you know, but we want to just ignore the past. We want to focus on the present and do the best job that we can. Sound good? All right, very good. I want to let you know also, I'm excited about this. I'm waiting for my shipment to arrive, but it hasn't gotten here as of yet. My newest book, Find a Real Friend in Jesus, 10 Amazingly Easy Steps, is out now. It's officially released. Praise God for that. And I'm going to be talking more about it as we move forward. You can order it right now. Amazon, I believe, still hasn't received it in stock. It's going to be there in a matter of days. But you can order your copy from Franciscan Media, which is the parent company of Servant Books, who is my publisher. So you can order it. They have it in stock. You can get it. If you have pre-ordered it from Amazon, I have a feeling you're going to be getting it very soon. So I'll talk more about that as we go forward. But I really would encourage you to check it out if you're looking for some amazingly easy steps to grow closer to Jesus. I didn't name it that just for the sake of having a catchy title. I really believe that these steps are amazingly easy because anybody can put these steps into practice. And these are the steps that I've used and the steps that I continue to use to grow closer to Jesus. So check that book out. More information can be found on my website, followingthetruth.com. And if you have any questions, you can always email me, and I'd be happy to get you more information. But you'll hear me talking about it more on the various TV shows, radio shows that I do to try to promote the message. I think that's a big problem, not only in the Catholic world, but it is a big problem in the Catholic world, but throughout the world, of people not understanding that it is possible to have a personal relationship with Jesus. It's not a cliche. It's not a nice saying. It's not something superficial, but it's a really true statement. You can have a personal friendship with Jesus Christ. You have to do some work, and that's where it sometimes gets a little tricky, but that's the thing for us to remember, that we just have to do some work, but it is absolutely possible. Let's see, I thought I had something else. This Saturday, which I believe is February the 27th, I think. Yes. If you happen to be in the Bowie, Maryland area, I'm headed down your way to lead a parish mission on the 28th, the 29th, and March 1st. I will be in Bowie, Maryland, St. Edward the Confessor Parish, leading a parish mission. And after that, as soon as I get home, I'm headed to Alabama with my family. We're going to be on At Home with Jim and Joy Pinto on EWTN-TV. After that, I'm off to Wichita, Kansas, to a local talk, St. Bede's Parish in Holland, Pennsylvania, followed by a trip to Pittsburgh. And I'm looking, then I'm going back to St. Andrews in Newtown, PA. So I've got a really busy March, but we're going to keep the show going. Don't worry about that. I'll pre-record all the programs when I'm going to be out of town. But I just like to let you know where I plan to be in case you're in the area, want to come out and we can meet and hear my talk. And I'll have all my books available for sale. And whenever I speak, I have my books available for sale. So anyway, that's my upcoming schedule. Why don't we pray? I'm thinking there's something else I have to mention, but if I think of it, I'll mention it when it comes to me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us another day. We thank you for letting us go through this Lenten radio retreat. And Father, we ask that you help us to do the best that we can. Please help this retreat bear fruit in our lives. We want to grow closer to you through your Son, Jesus. We want to get to know him better. We need your help in order to do that because we have a lot of obstacles that sometimes come between us. Help us to overcome those obstacles and grow closer to you through this process. Please grant us the strength that we need to go out and spread the good news, to spread your good news everywhere we go. Help us to draw other people close to you. Father, we ask you to help those who are struggling today for any reason, those who are sick, those who are anxious, those who are lonely, those who are dealing with financial difficulties, those who might be battling addictions. Please help them all. Help them grow closer to you. Allow them to feel your peace. Father, we also ask you to accept our own personal needs, our intentions, the problem areas of our lives. Please accept them and help us with each of these issues. Also, Father, I give you this program. I ask you to speak through me today. Give us the message that we need to hear. And please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her prayers. As together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you for praying with me. My name is Gary Zimak, and you are listening to our Lenten Radio Retreat. We started on Ash Wednesday, and we will continue throughout Easter. So we're going to go right through Lent and end up on Easter Sunday. We'll continue with this retreat up until then as we proceed through Matthew Kelly's book, Rediscover Jesus. Now, if you're new to the program, first of all, I want to welcome you, and I want to let you know that if you need a free copy of the book, the book that we're using, you can visit Matthew Kelly's website, dynamiccatholic.com, and request a free copy to be sent to you. The only thing you'll have to pay for is postage. So he's really offering a good deal, and even though you don't need it because we're going through the whole thing on the air, it's good to have. And I guess on the weekends when we don't do the material, you'll have extra, you'll be able to do the reading. So it really is a good idea to have the book. I know a lot of people have it. A lot of parishes have been giving the book out. So you already have it, that's a good thing. But if you don't have one, that's where you need to get it. If you know any friends who want to participate in this retreat, please invite them. It's not too late to join. Even though we've already started, it's never too late to join. And I'll do my best to try to recap some of the material. The goal of this Lenten radio retreat, the goal of our Lent really, should be to grow closer to Jesus Christ. That's what we're trying to do. And in order to do that, we've got to leave some of our bad habits behind. We've got to turn away from sin and move closer to the Lord. That's why we fast during Lent, so that we can focus more on Him. That's why we give alms, we give donations to various charities. And, you know, we can use some of the money that we save from the things that we're fasting from to donate to charities. So that's what we do in Lent. Of course, we pray more. And we're going to do all that on the program. If you listen to this show, we're going to hear Matthew Kelly's advice for growing closer to Jesus through his book. We're also going to look at the daily Mass readings. So you'll get to hear the Lord speak to you directly as well. As always, if you want to find out more about the work that I do, or maybe invite me to speak at your parish, you can visit my website, followingthetruth.com. While you're there, check out the great products available from Mystic Monk Coffee, and check out my Amazon store. Anytime you link to Amazon, you enter Amazon.com through my website, followingthetruth.com, results in a little bit of a commission for me, and it helps to keep this program and my full-time ministry going. So I'm very grateful for your support with those things. And I could also use your prayers. Rest assured that you are always in my prayers. Okay, today we're going to look at 40 words. God sees things in you that you don't see in yourself. Boy, isn't that true? A lot of times we can get down on ourselves. We think we're not competent. We think we're inadequate to spread the good news. And by ourselves, we would be. But the beautiful thing about the Lord is He can use us. Look at the apostles. Look at many of the figures in the Bible. Moses, Abraham, and many others. They didn't have any particular qualifications, but God was able to use them. He can use you as well. You just need to turn your life over to Him. And this is part of the process. That's what you're doing by participating in this retreat. You're trying to be able to do that. You grow closer to Him and turn your life over to Him. Jesus was teaching one day in the synagogue when He was asked, which is the greatest of the commandments? The question was a trap. At the time of Jesus, there were 613 laws. These laws were meant to protect people from breaking the Ten Commandments. But many Jewish people were so fixated on the laws that they lost sight of the central teachings of the Torah and the heart of God's message. Now, you're going to hear me mention this all of it. Pardon me. I really apologize for this cold. It's sometimes tough to talk. I really want to impress this point upon you that it's critical that we just don't go through the motions, that we truly follow the Lord with all of our heart and our soul rather than just go through the external formalities. Back to the book, Jesus cuts through the complexity with the clarity, power, and genius of simplicity. He perfectly summarizes the gospel. This was Jesus' response. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You can find this in Matthew 22:39. In 40 words, Jesus gives a mini gospel. In 40 words, He gives us a mini examination of conscience. In 40 words, He says, if you're looking for something to measure your life by, use this. But perhaps what is most radical here is also what is most often overlooked. It may be also one of the hardest aspects of the Christian faith to live. In these lines, Jesus invites us to a total love of God and a generous love of neighbor. But He assumes that we already love ourselves. When He says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, there is a connection between our ability to love ourselves in a healthy way and our ability to love our neighbor. This is a major stumbling block for many of us as Christians. It is a generalization, but my experience leads me to conclude that many Christians do a horrible job of loving themselves. We are wrapped up in a self-loathing that is unhealthy. We are constantly judging ourselves in ways that are unproductive. We are often less willing to forgive ourselves than God is to forgive us. On the surface, of course, we pretend otherwise, but Jesus isn't interested in the surface. He wants to drive down deep to the root of things. I'm not speaking of the love of self that is blind and boastful, but rather the love of self that acknowledges that we are weak and wounded, and at the same time that we are amazing children of God. It's that unique combination of humility and gratitude that allows us to acknowledge, even if we don't understand it, that God loves us deeply, that He loves us for a reason, and that alone is proof that we are lovable. We are lovable. You are lovable. Matthew states, I have traveled the world more than most people, and the amount of self-loathing that we seem to have for ourselves as Christians never ceases to break my heart. Our inability to love ourselves may be one of the biggest problems in the church today. For until we learn to love ourselves as God wants us to, our ability to love others will be limited and deformed. When we love ourselves, we become less interested in what others think about us and more interested in what God thinks. When we love ourselves, we don't do things just to get noticed or praised or accepted. Here's a practical example. How many gifts did you give to others last year? Most of us give dozens of gifts to other people. Birthdays, Christmas, weddings, anniversaries, etc. These gifts are given to friends, family, colleagues, and perhaps even strangers. If we give a gift with love of self in our hearts, we do it because we want to. We don't have any expectations. Surely we hope people like the gifts we give them, but whether they do or not, we know it was a thoughtful and generous thing to do. We cannot control the way another person responds to a gift, only the way the gift is given. If we give a gift without a healthy self-love, we may or may not be doing it because we actually want to. A gift given without self-love comes with expectations. When we give such a gift, we want the recipient to thank us, to praise us, to like us, to favor us. In this case, we will only feel good about giving the gift if the recipient responds in exactly the way we want him or her to. If the recipient doesn't like the gift, we will be disappointed and our sense of self will be diminished because we gave the gift hoping for love and acceptance in return. Isn't that a powerful thought? I bet you never really thought about that before. That's something that never really dawned on me until I was reading it right now. But so many times we do that, and as a result, we become very disappointed when people don't react in a way that we expect. A healthy sense of self-love is essential to the life of a Christian. God desires it for you. This self-love can coexist with true humility. So it is possible for us to be humble, truly humble, and at the same time have a healthy sense of self-love. Very important that you remember that. God wants you to be very clear that you are as important as anyone else. Any thought that you don't matter, that others are more important than you, that your thoughts or feelings are not valid, or that people will not like you unless you please them, are not from God. These are not thoughts that come from the mind of God. Learn to love yourself. That is radical. Your ability to love yourself will have a direct impact on your ability to love God and to love your neighbor. That is radical and profound. And I would encourage you to think about that this weekend. To learn to love yourself. To ask the Lord for the ability to help you to love yourself. Because if you don't do that, and most of us don't think of this, if you don't have a healthy love of self, then you're not going to be truly able to love others and to love God. Really, really critical. And I guarantee that's probably not something you thought about when you entered into this retreat. It's one of the reasons I enjoy this book, because he's using some angles that I wouldn't have expected. Point to ponder, God wants to raise you up. Now think about that this weekend too. God wants to raise you up. A verse to live, Colossians 3:12, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. A question to consider, are you loving yourself the way God wants you to love yourself? Finally, our prayer, Jesus, begin with a revolution of love in my heart today. Teach me to love myself as you love me so that I can love all those who cross my path in a way that reminds them that you changed the world. Really, really good stuff. Now, tomorrow, you know, I hate to give you homework, but that's the way we have to do it. Tomorrow, take a minute to read chapter 11, the heart of the gospel. And then on Sunday, the soul of the gospel, chapter 12. Monday, we will get back with chapter 13, who is the greatest, which is really, that's interesting. That is, that's one of my favorite stories. We're going to talk about who is the greatest on Monday. And if you have any questions over the weekend, let me know. My email address is gary@followingthetruth.com. And as always, if you need me, I'll make it a point to get back to you. Just give me a little time. Sometimes I'm busy running around doing things, but I check my email over the weekend. So if you need anything, let me know. Okay, daily mass read or Sunday mass readings, the second Sunday of Lent. Got some good ones here. Let me take a look and make sure I have the right readings. Yeah, let's talk about these. Let's read them. We have one extra because we have a second reading because it's the Sunday mass readings. So let's get right to it. The first reading is from Genesis chapter 15, verses 5 through 18. The Lord God took Abram outside and said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars, if you can. Just so." He added, "Shall your descendants be?" Abram put his faith in the Lord, who credited it to him as an act of righteousness. He then said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as a possession." "O Lord God," he asked, "how am I to know that I shall possess it?" He answered him, "Bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old she-goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." Abraham brought him all these, split them in two, and placed each half opposite the other. But the birds he did not cut up. The birds of prey swooped down on the carcasses, but Abram stayed with them. As the sun was about to set, a trance fell upon Abram, and a deep, terrifying darkness enveloped him. When the sun had set and it was dark, there appeared a smoking firepot and a flaming torch, which passed between those pieces. It was on that occasion that the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "To your descendants I give this land, from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates." So we see in this first reading, and you know, by the way, the story of Abram, who had his name changed to Abraham, is an incredible story. It's a great illustration of what it means to trust in the Lord and really use your faith when you don't have all the answers. And certainly Abram did not have all the answers, and the Lord really, really called upon him to trust, and Abram did. And as a result, God made a covenant with him, and that's what we hear about in this first reading. Really, really good. Let me see if this is in here, because there's a slight piece missing. Yeah, I've never heard anybody else mention this before, but Jeff Cavins in the Great Adventure Bible study, one of the things he points out is that God takes Abram outside and tells him to look up the sky and count the stars. That's how numerous your descendants shall be. Now, we can say, well, that's pretty good. He's asking Abram, who was childless at this point, to go out and count the stars. That's a hard task, but anybody can go and look up there and say, well, there's a lot of stars, therefore I'll have a lot of descendants. But Jeff Cavins points out later on, a few sentences down, we see when the sun had set and it was dark. And he makes the point that God was asking Abram to do this in the daytime. Now that's trust. When you can look at the stars, they're there, but you can't see them because the sun is shining. That's when you really have to trust. Isn't that a cool point? And I've never heard anybody else make that point. And I really, that's very powerful, and I always have remembered that. The responsorial psalm is Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is my life's refuge. Of whom should I be afraid? Hear, O Lord, the sound of my call. Have pity on me and answer me. Of you my heart speaks, you my glance seeks. Your presence, O Lord, I seek. Hide not your face from me. Do not in anger repel your servant. You are my helper. Cast me not off. I believe that I shall see the bounty of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord with courage. Be stout-hearted and wait for the Lord. If you're feeling anxious today, this psalm contains a great message. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? Ask yourself that question, because the answer is nobody. The Lord is the light of the world. He's going to guide you, and he's going to be your salvation. Salvation is through Jesus Christ. So you've got nothing to fear. So don't be afraid. Let's look at the second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, beginning in verse 17. Join with others in being imitators of me, brothers and sisters, and observe those who thus conduct themselves according to the model you have in us. For many, as I have often told you, and now tell you even in tears, conduct themselves as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is their shame. Their minds are occupied with earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we also await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will change our lowly body to conform with his glorified body by the power that enables him also to bring all things into subjection to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord. And just briefly, we're going through the Lenten season. We're giving up certain things. We're praying more. We're trying to be more centered on spiritual treasures than on earthly treasures. So we're really adhering to St. Paul's words and focusing on the things of heaven. Okay, and let's continue that. Let's continue that, and that's one of the reasons that we fast or give something up during Lent. Let's do the gospel now. Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. Jesus took Peter, John, and James and then went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory, and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with them. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen Son, listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent, but did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. This is the famous story of the Transfiguration, where Jesus gave his disciples a glimpse of what he would look like in his heavenly glory. And you know what? That's something you and I need to keep in mind. We are called. We are destined. We were created for heaven. We were not created to solely live in this life. This life is just the first part of our eternal life. We're going to transition and live in heaven, God willing, and that's why we have to cooperate and listen to him. And when we do that, we get the hope that we need to continue going forward. And that's why Jesus gave his apostles, Peter, James, and John, a glimpse of what they were about to encounter in heaven. Because when they came down from the mountain, as you can see, Peter didn't want to go, didn't want to leave. They came down from the mountain. They were going to face some really depressing news. Jesus was going to give them the news that he would have to suffer. So it was difficult for them. Before they went up on the mountain, he said, If you want to follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself, pick up your cross daily, and follow me. And then they go up, they have the transfiguration experience. On the way down from the mountain, they're told that Jesus is going to have to suffer and die. That's why he wanted to lift up their spirits. You need to do the same thing. You need to do the same thing if you expect to keep going. You got to think about heaven sometimes. And that's what's going to get us through the difficult times of life. Okay? Does that sound good? Now remember, if you have any questions, please email me, Gary@followingthetruth.com. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. I hope my voice is better next Monday so you don't have to listen to me squeak throughout the whole program. I'll be praying for you. Please pray for me and for everybody who's making this retreat. I hope you're enjoying it. Please let your friends know about it. Remember to check out my new book, Find a Real Friend in Jesus. You can find all the details at followingthetruth.com. Have yourself a wonderful weekend. Try to get to confession this weekend if possible, so you can really be pure as you go through that. God bless you. Talk to you soon.